Hello and welcome. I'm Angela Saeva, founder of Equine Elevation and host of Sovereign Horse. Horses have been the greatest catalyst for growth in my life, and this podcast is no exception. Sovereign Horse was inspired by my herd as a space to explore what it means to support sovereignty in our horses and in ourselves. It is my absolute honor to hold space for the horses and humans who are driving the beautiful revolution and paradigm shift I'm seeing within the equine industry right now. My intention with this podcast is to share the voices and wisdom of the horses, as well as the humans who journey alongside them and whose work is honoring horses as sentient and sovereign beings. I am so grateful that you are here, and I hope you find value and resonance in this episode. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Sovereign Horse. Today is a beautiful spring slash summer day, and I say slash summer because although it's meant to be spring, and technically it's spring, it's actually 30 degrees Celsius outside right now. So we've kind of skipped over spring this week, and we are having some serious summer temperatures, which means I've got all the windows open. So you may hear some vehicles go by while I'm recording today, but you may also hear some beautiful songbirds. I actually had a different episode planned for today, but something came up yesterday, and so the topic ended up shifting. So today I want to share with you something that I have been sitting with and consciously contemplating within my own life for about 3 years now. Yesterday I had a beautiful EPT session, that's Emotional Polarity Technique, with the absolutely wonderful Beth Porter of Earth and Ether. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you may remember Beth from the episode we were recording exploring all things forgiveness. I still have people reaching out to me to share how impactful that episode was for them, so if you haven't heard it, you may want to check that one out. In my first EPT sessions with Beth, I was working through a lot of, let's just say, life stuff. But recently I've been really loving EPT as a supportive tool for myself in my business. And that makes perfect sense to me because really most often business stuff stems from quote unquote life stuff. So in yesterday's session, we ended up in an exploration of how entrepreneurship was modeled to me through my father, who owned two businesses. One of which was as an owner and trainer of thoroughbred racehorses, which again, if you've been hanging out around here for a while, then you've definitely heard stories about that. I'm not going to share the personal details of my father's relationship with entrepreneurship because that's his journey and his story. But I bring it up because there was something else that came up as a secondary kind of like attachment to that work, which relates to a very deep thread of horses and family in my life. And my horses have been nudging me to sit more deeply with this for a while now. And yesterday it just became so clear that like the time is now. So I'm going to take you on this journey with me because it is something I have absolutely seen within the industry, with others, with clients, and even just with friends. So I know it's not exclusive to only me. As a child, it was very clear to me that my father's horses were extremely important and that they were the top priority in his life. There was no question. His life revolved around the horses. And my impression as a child was that the family came second, but possibly even third to the horses, because as I said, he also owned a second business. So there were many times when I recalled the horses being put ahead of the family. I can only recall one family vacation in my entire childhood where my father came. All the others were just my mom and sometimes my sister. So there was an understanding that we just don't take family vacations because dad is busy with the horses. And of course, that also trickled over into family events and celebrations and sports and, you know, all of that fell to my mom. So there was, of course, some resentment felt because of our ranking in the priority order. And I remember being hospitalized for an ear infection when I was maybe 10 or 11. Like I used to get these chronic ear infections every April. I remember because I had a friend whose birthday party I always missed because I always had an ear infection on her birthday weekend. It was like clockwork I would get these earaches. Anyway, I was hospitalized and just for a couple of days, but I remember that like all the women in my family came to visit. So like my aunts and my nona, and you know, they brought like coloring books and stickers and games and things to keep me occupied. But I don't recall my father coming even once. What I do remember is the time that he had a sick horse and he stood in the back of the trailer with him for 3 hours on the drive to the veterinary hospital, and then how much of his time and energy he put into that horse's recovery after that. And I'm not sharing all of this to paint like a dark picture of my dad. I'm sharing this to paint the picture of how little Angela, childhood Angela, perceived her place in her father's life, as well as my understanding at a very young age that horses are, and they're all consuming in every way. So fast forward to me as a young adult who finds herself finally able to make her childhood dream of owning a horse a reality. And very quickly, I began to understand for myself just how all-consuming horse ownership can be. And it wasn't too long before I was the one disappointing friends and family because of my horse responsibilities. It wasn't long before I found myself withdrawing more and more from family life and putting the horses above everyone and everything else. And it wasn't long before I began to see the reflection of my dad in my own actions, which also gave me a very different perspective of my childhood and understanding of his reasons for putting the horses first. So within this first part of the story, there are multiple layers. The first being a deep thread of horses in my life and how that thread was also intricately connected to family, both through my connection to them through my father, but also how they were prioritized ahead of our family. There is also the layer of a clear reflection of the qualities I shared with my dad that were so painful to experience as a child, and yet so deeply understood as an adult who eventually came to possess those same qualities and make those same decisions that were painful to be on the receiving end of for others. So yeah, it's been such an interesting process to become like so much more compassionate of my parents as I have moved through adulthood and been faced with realizations of how, you know, so often they were really just doing the best they could at the level of consciousness they embodied, as so many of us are. So I have always had this deep family tie with horses. But as an adult, this connection was taken to another level. The level where, after experiencing so much family trauma, mostly in the form of rejection for being who I am, that I eventually, unconsciously, and then kind of consciously, replaced my human family with a horse family. And this is the piece I have seen in many others as well. There is a very common thread, at least that I have witnessed, of people elevating horses into roles that are truly meant to be held by our family. Many of these people also identify as the black sheep, or the outlier, or the outcast of their family, myself included, of course, and it seems to be a natural transition to move horses into the spaces our family members aren't filling. Right? Like, we seek horses for comfort, we seek them for love, we seek them as someone we can be our true and authentic selves with, and as someone that we can confide in, right? Like, so many of us find that we can just be completely honest with our horses. And through this process, an unhealthy entanglement is created, because while horses absolutely can be family, and mine certainly are, they are not meant to fill the voids in our lives left by our family, right? Left by our mothers and our fathers, our brothers and our sisters who didn't fulfill what we felt we needed from them. And I know that sounds harsh, and it feels a little bit harsh, but this is the truth that my horses shared with me when I realized I had created dysfunctional relationships with them when I tried to make them fill the spaces of the family dynamic that I didn't have growing up. And so all the dysfunction I experienced in my family life, I just basically transferred onto my horses. And I did that feeling like I had done my healing work, but actually not realizing that I was just repeating those toxic, dysfunctional patterns with them instead. And that was a fun realization to come to. And I'm sure it wouldn't be surprising for anyone to hear that Kisses was the one who kind of brought me to this realization. Shout out to Kisses for always kind of redirecting me and pointing me to what I need to work with next. Because like baked within that realization was a jarring reflection of how I had been forcing my horses into roles and boxes that they didn't fit in, just as I had been forced into roles and boxes that I didn't fit in by my family when I was growing up. Again, another fun one. I never felt that it was okay to be myself in my family life. Like, I was constantly being told all the ways that I needed to change to make life easier for everyone else, and so that I would basically be like a, you know, successful and functioning and contributing member of society. And then of course there was also the layer that was probably even more important than that, which was like to ultimately be a good, which really means obedient, wife and mother someday. I saw this in the ways I was taught to control and manipulate horses to do what I wanted. Those fear-based tactics that were meant to keep the human safe, but basically were at the cost of the horse losing their inner fire. And all these rules and boxes that ultimately led to like one of my mares shutting down completely and another one falling into learned helplessness, which, you know, was quite a process to decondition, you know, later on when I realized that that was going on. And then of course there's the boxes of disciplines, right? Because these are riding horses. So I wanted to ride in different disciplines and I expected that all my horses would just do whatever I wanted to do. So like it started with dressage. We were all doing dressage. And then I moved to, you know, a different barn and they were jumpers. And I was like, oh, jumping is cool. I want to jump. So now we're all jumpers and they had to be jumpers too. When I bought Kisses, I was shifting into eventing. So, you know, she needed to be a triple threat, right? Like she needed to be able to do dressage and show jumping and run cross country. And then once I had a taste of that, that was before I bought the boys who were both babies. Indy and Phantom were bought as babies to be event prospects as well. So really both of those geldings were bought to like fulfill my big dreams of being a pro eventer. And I truly never thought about whether or not they'd want to do that. It was more about, you know, that they had the athletic capability to do it. And, you know, being put into all these boxes and expected to do all these things is really much like what many of us experienced as kids and young adults, fulfilling the dreams and desires of our parents who wanted their kids to be successful in life, in whatever that definition of success is. And so here I am again, seeing these deep threads of interconnectivity between horses and family. Now, this is a sidebar. There are also deep threads and parallels of the path women have been walking in our liberation from, you know, oppression and dysfunctional masculine systems that have created the world that we currently live in, and horses in their evolutionary journey of being liberated from control and manipulation to, you know, where we're moving to being, you know, honoring them as sentient and sovereign and wisdom-filled beings. But that's a discussion for another episode. But I do want to have that discussion in another episode. Anyway, I just couldn't gloss over that little point. But what my horses shared with me was that I really needed to take an honest look at the unhealthy entanglements that I had created with them. And at the places where I had avoided doing my personal work and instead just inserted them into the roles that they were never meant to fill. So the places where, you know, instead of becoming more self-reliant and more whole, I leaned on them to hold me up and I leaned on them to lift me up. I kind of held this energy at that time and this viewpoint of like, it's us against the world, instead of opening myself up to the understanding of higher levels of consciousness and the ultimate truth that we are all born of the same source energy, the same ocean of consciousness, the same unified field. And while that can become quite high level and esoteric, I know, truly at the core of what my horses were sharing with me was they wanted me to learn how to stand in my sovereignty, which means to know myself as whole and healthy, someone who is worthy simply by being alive, someone who isn't this broken person who needs to be fixed, or someone who is missing parts of themselves that they seek to fill with the energy of another. But that sovereignty means acceptance of all that I am and unconditional love for all that I am. And the only way I can truly honor each of my horses in that same way, as whole, as sentient, as wise, and as sovereign, was to know myself as whole and as healed and as wise and as sovereign first. And this is why actually the initial name of this podcast was Sovereign Horse, Sovereign Human. Because what my horse has taught me is that we can't truly have one without the other. They're inextricably connected, as are sovereignty and unconditional love, in my experience, in my opinion. And so now, as I mentioned, my horses are, of course, still family to me, but I hold that family connection in a much different way, which was truly the organic byproduct of the work I just spoke of, anchoring into myself as sovereign and understanding that everyone is moving through life at the level of consciousness they currently embody. And so, in a practical sense, what that really manifests as is a consent-based approach to every aspect of my life and work and the care of my horses. Like, we truly do co-create our lives now, and that looks different with each of my horses. And it's also something that is constantly changing and evolving as we all change and evolve individually and then as a family or a herd. And then, like, on a soul level, I also know that some of my horses and I have journeyed together many, many times, and that the dynamics of our relationships have also shifted many, many times. So it's been interesting to also bring that knowing into our current lives together and experience how those dynamics are playing out now and how some of those past lives have created different challenges and also really deep connections in this life. I just find it all so fascinating. And so kind of the final piece I want to weave into this episode is how supportive I have found the gene keys to be in this journey of the interconnectivity of my family and horses in my life. You may have heard me talk about the gene keys before. In fact, it came up in the episode that I mentioned earlier that I recorded with Beth about forgiveness. But if you aren't familiar, the gene keys are what I refer to as a cosmic blueprint system, much like astrology and human design. So gene keys is actually based on multiple aspects of our human design charts. And human design, of course, includes components of astrology and the Chinese I Ching and other ancient cosmic systems. But the gene keys are all about embracing your higher purpose. And so you can look up your hologenetic profile on the gene keys website and find which gene keys are significant for you in this lifetime. I won't get too in depth about all the details and nuances because I have spoken about this a few times before. But what I do want to share is a couple of my significant gene keys that kind of blew my mind as I was contemplating them and realizing the connection with horses. So The hologenetic profile is made up of 11 gene keys, and they're all connected to one another through these pathways. And each gene key has three parts, so the shadow, the gift, and the city. The idea being that you reach the city by moving to it from the shadow through the pathway of the gift. So my primary gene key, which is the sphere of your life's work, is the 34th gene key, which is the shadow of force. From there, you move to the gift of strength, and then through to the city of majesty. And force has been a huge shadow throughout many aspects of my life, especially when it came to horses. And this is something that so many of us experience in the conventional horse world. You know, it's all about how can I force this 1,000-pound animal to do what I want him or her to do. So that is a theme I think that many equestrians and horse people can relate to at some point in their journey with horses. My vocation sphere, though, was the one that I touched on in my conversation with Beth, which is the 4th gene key. And it moves from the shadow of intolerance to the gift of understanding to the city of forgiveness. And forgiveness, of course, was the topic of that episode. And I remember how mind-blowing it was for me to learn that this is what my vocation is, which in the gene keys, your vocation is referred to as your inner calling. Like, whoa. So the gene keys talks about how your vocation is your single most creative calling. And as you learn to live out your vocation, it becomes your life's work, which is then the outer expression of that core talent, that creative calling. So for me, my greatest strength comes from my ability to understand others, which, again, for me, this is really about understanding someone's level of consciousness, but also about understanding their innate cosmic and genetic design, which is why I love working with astrology and human design and the gene keys to help me like really understand that about a person. And then to ultimately embody the quality of my life's work, which is majesty through forgiveness. And this was such an incredible revelation to me because at the time that I discovered gene keys, my work had already evolved into like primarily supporting my clients through that process of forgiving firstly themselves and also others for the harm that had been caused to their horses. Because of course, working with them in my bodywork practice, so many things were coming to light that they were then having to really come to acceptance of and move through guilt and shame around because they were really feeling like things were their fault because they were the ones making decisions or letting people do these things to their horses. So forgiveness became this massive component of my work. And I mean, like, you just can't make this stuff up. Like, it's so cool. And so there's one more gene key that I want to talk about, and that is my purpose sphere. So mine is the 37th gene key, which holds the shadow of weakness, the gift of equality, and the city of tenderness. And I can, of course, see those qualities in my evolution from, you know, control-based to consent-based horsemanship. And the tenderness piece really came through in my bodywork practice as I was becoming just so much more compassionate for the horses and what they were moving through and what they were holding, and also like the invitations that they were asking of, you know, their humans to step into this space of healing. And so as a person who would have never ever called herself tender, to find myself in that space of tenderness through that work was actually really beautiful for me in my evolution. But there's another layer here, which I find truly fascinating, and it's that the 37th gene key is all about family alchemy. Which, okay, so like, what is family alchemy? Family alchemy is about seeing that black sheep of the family and realizing that they hold within them this gift. And the gift is really like a gift of mutation because they're here to support the evolution of the family. So it's really about seeing the beauty of our differentiation and how each unique individual offers his or her gifts, like how each flower adds its beauty to a garden without overshadowing the beauty of any of the other flowers, and then how together they create a more stunning garden than any one of them could on their own. So the family alchemy piece, it's about the evolution of consciousness through all of these differences, the contrast, the unique perspectives, and like the variety of manifestations available through honoring all beings and knowing their innate value exactly as they are, and not just exactly as they are, but because they're different, right? And this is really the culmination of the story that I came here to share with you today, and the version of family that my horses were asking me to step into. It's the one where each individual is loved truly unconditionally for exactly who they are, and that they're celebrated for those differences, and that they're sought out for their unique wisdom and their unique perspective, because they're the only ones who can see it. And that when we're all honored in all of these ways, in our differentiation and in our gifts and in our sovereignty, that we are ultimately stronger as a family than we are on our own. And the gifts we each offer to the world are alchemized and amplified when we come together. Like, it's so cool. So there's this little excerpt about having the 37th gene key as a purpose from inside the activation sequence, which is like what you can do if you go online and buy the course to kind of like go through all of your own gene keys and your hologenetic profile. So, and you can find that online if you feel called, and you can move yourself through all of your own gene keys. But it reads, "Your purpose is to bring people in the world closer together. In every aspect of your life, this is the essence of your work. Somewhere deep inside you, a great vision is trying to find its way into the world. A vision of the world as one family. The deeper you dig within you, the further you will realize you can go with this vision. There is nothing to stop you from transforming the whole world. It is a matter of how big you can dream and how far you are willing to go. The secret, as you will learn, is unconditional love, the most powerful force in the universe." And I share that excerpt with you because it is ultimately the same thing, the same message my horses were sharing with me. Like, you just can't make this stuff up. This is why I just find this whole journey between horses and humans so fascinating, and why at this point, like, it's just so undeniable to me that horses truly have this desire to work with humans and to move through this healing journey together. And it's not like they're here in service of humans. That's not what I believe. It's more that when we come together and do this healing work together, we elevate both collective consciousnesses simultaneously. So we elevate the horse collective and the human collective consciousness as we individually do this healing work, and we all rise together. Like, it's just such a beautiful process and such a beautiful journey to walk. So, like, man, if you have horses or you hang around with horses, like, we are so fortunate to have these incredible beings as our partners in these healing journeys. And, you know, again, it's not to say, like, we're all broken or bruised and need the healing. And it's not about seeking it out. It's about just like living life and then being open to each opportunity for deeper healing as it presents itself, because that is the beauty of living. Like, we live our lives and life presents us with another opportunity to grow and to learn about ourselves and to expand our level of consciousness, and through that it ripples out into the one consciousness. And so, you know, that's really what it's all about. And horses just offer this really pure perspective and reflection. And when we are open and we listen, then, like I said about kisses, they just know. They know when we're ready, and they know exactly where to point us for our kind of like next level of learning. And then not only that, they're like 100% there and willing to support us and be with us through the process. And that's just so beautiful. So that is what I wanted to share with you today. If you feel called to look into your gene keys, or if you already have and you found connections between your gene keys and the lessons that you have and are moving through with your horses, I would absolutely love to know. I am so curious to hear if this is a thread for others as well. So if you feel like you'd like to share your gene keys, and/or your horse contemplations and connections, please do reach out. You can, of course, find me on Instagram at Equine Elevation or on our website, equineelevation.com. I love hearing from you guys, so please continue to reach out. If you feel like reaching out, please do. Don't be shy. And if there's a topic you'd like to hear discussed on the podcast, or someone that you would really love to hear insights from on the podcast, please reach out and let me know. Share that with me. And, I'll do my best to bring that forward for you. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and you just have an absolutely wonderful week ahead. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for joining me here. I sincerely hope you found resonance within this episode. If you did, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Instagram at Equine Elevation, or you can find me online at equineelevation.com. Until next time.